I'm reminded of a children's nursery rhyme when I learned when I was very young, and it went like this. It went, here is the church, and here is the steeple, and you open up the doors, and there's all the people. But today, it's more like, there is the church, there is the steeple, open up the door, and where's all the people? Well, we're down through another lockdown with regards to COVID. I want to give a shout out to those of you online. Thank you so much for joining worship at Steele Heights here this morning. I want to give a shout out to John Neufeld's Life Group, whom I join every Tuesday, my spiritual community as we grow together and learn together. Shout out to my daughter number two, Robin, who is 32 years old today. And so my little girl is 32. God bless you, Robin. And if I was on Carol Burnett, I'd be going like this, right? What does this mean? It means, hi, Mom, that was Carol Burnett's phrase. She always used to do that. But I don't have to do that now because it's Mother's Day and you can actually say, hi, Mom. So I want to give a shout out to my mom, Shirley Ann Poley, in Moncton. And Mom, I want to say I love you. And Mom, I know the love of God more because of you, because of your example. I know more that God cares, his compassion, that he's a hospitable God because of your example. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. Well, this morning we are continuing our service. Am I going to be able to have the slides up here so I can kind of follow along? I think you see them up there on the screen. And our lead pastor has picked this series called Intercultural. And today, in our churches, Intercultural, we have 40 birth nations that are part of Steele Heights. And the goals that our lead pastor, and he has chosen today, the topic that he's given to me, hospitality, easy topic, right? You know, during COVID. Hospitality. So you're going to have to apply the things that you learn today and be creative how you use those principles within our COVID environment. But it's still a command within Scripture. We need to hear about it. We need to learn about it. And we need to understand what it is. So Pastor Darren has shared that there's really two goals throughout this entire series that he has. The first goal is that we recognize the dangers of ethnocentrism. Am I pronouncing that right? I'm not really quite sure. That's like a big $50 word, isn't it? Well, I got out my World Book dictionary and looked up anthrocentrism, and I was trying to figure out, is there another word? Is there a synonym? And guess what? There's no synonym, so we actually have to use that word. This is only volume one as well with the World Book dictionary. Anthrocentrism, what's it about? It's regarding one's own race, one's own culture, better than anybody else's. And especially if you're in the majority. Well, we would say, we don't do that. We don't think that our culture is better than anybody else's. Well, let's just kind of think about the whole big topic of sin for a minute. Sin is defined S, small s, I, big I, and sin is selfishness. And if we are selfish as individuals, it's not a great big huge leap to think that we are selfish as races when you put all of that together. But we don't see it because we don't see our own blind spots. And hopefully this morning you can see how hospitality is actually an antidote to this anthrocentrism as we journey together and as we break bread together. So two goals that Pastor Darren has. One is to recognize the dangers, the seduction that is there. We need to become more aware of that. And second goal is that we deepen our understanding to true biblical community, that the church really is all tribes and all nations, and God's great big family is very diverse. The genuine body of Christ strives for unity, but celebrates ethnic diversity. And so this morning, we're going to take a look at the role of hospitality in this intercultural topic. The passage that was chosen this morning that Darren pointed me to, very, very popular passage in the Gospel of Luke called the Good Samaritan. And most of us know that, so I'm not going to read it to you, but I'm going to sing that story to you. It goes like this. A man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho. He fell among robbers who beat him and left him to die. Abandoned him and branded him for every passerby. Well, who is my neighbor who claims my word and deed? Anyone in need, anyone in need. A priest came along the road. He looked upon the stranger. He winced at his nakedness, shrugged, and passed him by. A Levite came along, he looked away and let him lie. Well, who is my neighbor who claims my word and deed? Anyone in need, anyone in need? Then a Samaritan chanced upon the stranger. He deeply moved, as though he were of kin. He put him on his beast and he took him to an inn. Well, who is my neighbor who claims my word and deed? Anyone in need, anyone in need? So a Samaritan took pity on a stranger. He bound up his wounds and never even left his name. And Jesus said, go out and do the same. Well, who is my neighbor who claims my word and deed? Anyone in need, anyone in need? Well, who is my neighbor who claims my word and deed? Anyone in need, anyone in need? Yes, anyone in need, anyone in need. Every time I hear the story of the Good Samaritan, I think of that song. And I think of my dad teaching me that song on guitar when I was in school. Who is my neighbor? What an example of hospitality, because the enemy, first there was a priest. Oh, here's the good guy coming into the story. That's Jesus now. He's going to do something. He passes on the other side. Then comes the Levite. Oh, here's the hero. Then Jesus said, and then a Samaritan. And then everyone's saying, aha, the villain. He's going to finish him off. But it was the enemy. It was that treated the Jewish man, the stranger. What an example of hospitality. So a Samaritan was hospitable to a stranger. He bound up his wounds and never even left his name. Paid 2 months' wages to the innkeeper, said, look, if you need anything else, just put it on my tab. Never even left his name, and Jesus said, go out and do the same. So I looked up the word hospitable. Now we're going to talk about the role of hospitality in this greater series of the intercultural church. The role of hospitality. What does hospitality mean? Well, it's a $50 word, but we're a little bit more familiar with that word, so we think, but we've kind of culturalized it to ourselves. What did it originally mean? Well, what it means now within the World Book Dictionary is to give welcome food and shelter, well, to guests and strangers. Well, the welcoming part is still easy through COVID because we still greet people, we still welcome people. The food part, well, our church still has the bread table out in the front as it practices hospitality to the rest, but shelter. So we're going to have to apply some of these things within our own context. But hospitable means to give welcome food or shelter to guests or strangers. Now, I got to confess that most of the time when we think of hospitality, we think of hospitality that we extend to our friends. We actually invite them over. We know they're coming and we're hospitable to them. But the dictionary says to guests and to strangers. Actually, the word hospitality means generous treatment to guests and strangers. Exact definition right out of the dictionary. But Haddon Robinson, professor at Gordon-Conwell Theological Seminary, he digs down into the Greek, the original meaning of the word. And in the Bible, it literally means hospitality is a love for strangers. That is the emphasis. The love for strangers, where within our North American context, we're thinking hospitality, we extend that to our friends, right? And 99% of the time we're thinking of that when the scripture, the majority of the time, they're thinking of hospitality to strangers. Isn't that interesting? So, I love this parable of the Good Samaritan. And I love the Gospel of Luke. The great Bible commentator William Barclay says, if I had to choose one book in the whole New Testament, if only one book that I could keep, I would choose the Gospel of Luke, for in the Gospel of Luke, we have Jesus at his most beautiful and the gospel at its widest. Well, I'm glad that we don't have to choose, but it did become one of my favorites starting back in 1983. Why was Luke so special? Why is the Gospel of Luke so special? I actually went digging through my files, and here's a project of mine, 1983, in partial fulfillment to the requirements of the course, the Gospel of Luke, course number 7143. And I color-coded, the whole Gospel of Luke, and I color-coded it according to themes. In fact, my professor, Dr. Allison Trite, said, hey, Gord, I would love to have a copy of this if you would allow me afterwards. So even the professor wanted a copy of it afterwards. What's so significant about Luke? Well, Luke is the only non-Jewish writer in the New Testament. And his is the longest of the four Gospels. In fact, Luke is the most prolific writer in the New Testament. Luke wrote 27% of the New Testament. The Apostle Paul wrote 24%, the longest of the four Gospels. Not in chapters, but in words, in length. Now let's take a look at some themes. Because Luke was non-Jewish, his greatest theme is universal redemption, that Jesus didn't come just for the Jews, but it's universal. He came for everybody, the Gentiles too. He emphasizes the Holy Spirit more than any of the other evangelists. And of course, we see that because he wrote a whole nother sequel called The Acts of the Holy Spirit. And we see the Holy Spirit all through Acts. Only Luke records the only parables on prayer, and he emphasizes prayer in many places throughout his book. Joy and praise. The gospel starts in the temple, praise, and ends in chapter 24 in the temple. And Luke also emphasizes individuals. Now, Matthew's parables center on the kingdom of God, but Luke's parables center on persons and individuals. Oh, and there's many other themes that are in Luke as well. But the one that deals with this morning is Luke's table talks. And in more than the other evangelists, he saw the importance of Jesus' methodology of how he went about ministry. Now, we don't have time to take a look at all of these, but we see here several different table talks all throughout the gospel. Now, you see that there are a couple there that are the same in other gospels, the Last Supper and the feeding of the 5,000. But the rest of those examples that you see there are pure Lucan. And Luke uses these table talks, these meals, this hospitality, as teaching opportunities on lessons on evangelism, on justice, and on the kingdom of God. And it's these table talks that are a perfect occasion to illustrate the counterculture to the kingdom of God to the rest of the world, and how God has called us to live as opposed to the way most of the world is and was living. Well, this answers the age-old question, which is more important, the social gospel or the spiritual gospel? Is it more important to feed the poor? Is it more important to be born again? And of course, the answer in Scripture is obvious. You can't have one without the other. They're both very significant, and we see it in the modus operandi. We see it in the MO of Jesus, in his method of operation, of that he would meet specific needs, and then he would teach about the kingdom of God in this very at easy and laid-back atmosphere of reclining around the table and just speaking to them about God. Sitting around the table also breaks down barriers, because sometimes when we present the gospel, there's barriers to get through. But if we want to deepen our roots to true biblical community, if we want to break down barriers, then hospitality is a great way to do that. No wonder the Bible says that if you want to be an elder, you want to be a leader within the church, you have to be hospitable. It talks about that in 1 Timothy chapter 3. In fact, there's around 12, 13, 14 preconditions that if you want to be an elder, you have to have these checks in a box. And one of them is hospitality. Well, some of you may be thinking, well, I'm sure glad I'm not an elder. That's not in my nature. That's not my giftedness. Well, the Bible doesn't say it has to be in your nature. The Bible says it needs to be in your practice. And it says not only just for elders, but it also says to all of us, generally speaking. Paul writes to the whole church, and he says, always be eager to practice hospitality. And again, what do we mean by hospitality? It's not just our North American thing. It's a love for strangers. Always be eager to practice a love for strangers. And that's what the Good Samaritan did. He chanced upon a stranger, he bound up his wounds and never even left his name. See, Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus said, if you love only those people who love you back, I mean, is God going to reward that? I mean, even the tax collectors love their friends, the Bible says. If you greet, now we've already talked about some three components within the hospitality, greeting, welcome, food, and shelter. If you greet only your friends, what's so great about that? Even unbelievers do that. They greet their friends. What are we called to? Oh, you mean I got to be hospitable? I mean, maybe that's why 1 Peter says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling, because the Lord knows us. Well, again, Haddon Robinson from Gordon Conwell, when he talks about a love for strangers, he says, sometimes people who visit our churches feel unwelcome. No one greets them or notices it. And immediately our default here at Steel Heights would probably say, oh, well, that doesn't happen here because we're a very, very friendly church. Well, we are very friendly, but there are still visitors that come and nobody talks to them. Why? Because God knows that our gravitational pull is first towards our friends. Right? After church, what's the first thing that we want to do? We want to see people we haven't seen without a week. But if we are to practice hospitality, I think one of the great ways of doing that is to practice the 5-minute rule after every service. And the 5-minute rule of hospitality is after every service, you spend the first 5 minutes talking to people you don't know. And then we are to carry out what Jesus was talking about, being hospitable and of welcoming people and of greeting them. God knows we have this gravitational pull. And it makes people feel more welcome if we talk to them than just put into the bulletin, welcome to our visitors. I mean, is that really all that we're going to do? Welcome to our visitors. Remember when before COVID we used to have our monthly meals together and we'd go downstairs and have a church family meal? That reminds me of the old slogan, you know, nothing says loving like something from the oven. Remember that old slogan? Some of you even know what commercial that one's from way back in the day. Nothing says loving like something from the oven. Most of us think hospitality, well, I mean, the reason why they're preaching hospitality on Mother's Day, because that's for mothers. That's what mothers do. Well, they're the best at it, probably, that's for sure. But God invites all of us to be hospitable towards one another. Well, what are some examples within the scripture of hospitality? We have our premier example, the Good Samaritan, who reached out to this stranger and put him on his beast, took him to the inn, paid for his upcare, never even left his name. We have a great example of practicing hospitality to strangers. Now, another example is the jailer. Do you remember the jailer in Acts chapter 16? So Paul and Silas are in Philippi, and Paul is preaching, and he casts out this spirit of fortune-telling within this slave girl, and because she no longer has this gift, her owners are all upset, and they go to the magistrates, and they throw Paul and Silas in jail, and they beat them, and they put them in the stocks, and all these different things. You remember the story in Acts chapter 16? And what's Paul and Silas's response? Well, they have a praise and worship service. I mean, it's going on even till midnight. And all of a sudden, there's a great earthquake, the scripture says, and the doors are opened. Everybody's chains were loosed. And the jailer, knowing that they're all his responsibility, oh my land, the doors are open, they're gone. He draws his sword and he's just about to do himself in. And Paul says, don't do that. We're all here. And the jailer can't believe it. Every single one of them are there. He's overwhelmed by their example, the whole praise service. He says, what must I do to be saved? Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you too will be saved. And the scripture says, at that very hour, the jailer took Paul and Silas and he washed their wounds. Maybe the wounds he even inflicted upon them himself. He washed their wounds. He took them home to his house. He gave them a meal and he was saved. And the scripture says, and his entire household. What a beautiful picture of hospitality. Let's talk about another example, the tax collector in Luke chapter 19. Anyone remember his name, the tax collector? Zacchaeus. Actually, Luke 19 tells us that he was the chief tax collector. And if tax collectors were known for ripping off people, taking more than what they usually do, I mean, the chief guy, you know that he's probably really, really loaded. But what's the story tell us about Zacchaeus? Well, Jesus is coming along. Zacchaeus is kind of, how can I say this without offending him? He was kind of short in stature. And he climbs up a sycamore tree because he wants to be able to see the Lord. And the Lord comes by and says, Zacchaeus, you come down. I must stay at your house today. And Zacchaeus hurries down and gladly receives him and takes him to his house and throws this banquet. And of course, the rest of the people, all the people saw this, began to mutter, oh, he's gone to be the guest. Hospitality of a sinner. But Zacchaeus doesn't care because, as Jesus said, for today salvation comes to this house, for he also is a son of Abraham. Well, we could talk about Lydia, Thyatira. We could talk about Gaius from Corinth. We could talk about many, many other examples of hospitality within Scripture. But my point is this, in these first three that I've chosen. If the enemy, the Good Samaritan, can show hospitality, if the jailer, one that you wouldn't expect, would show hospitality. If the tax collector in those days, the scum of the earth, the traitor to his own people, could show hospitality, people, how much more should we, when the scriptures say, always be eager to practice hospitality? In fact, by doing it, some of you have even entertained angels without being aware of it. When did we stop practicing hospitality? Or when did we get this idea hospitality was just for those who love us back? What kind of hospitality does Jesus want us to share? Well, I admit it's challenging to show hospitality during COVID. But we can still speak to our neighbor across the fence. We can still speak to strangers in public, but we have to be intentional and do that. And we have to have in the back of our mind, let's listen for any needs that they may have. We can still connect with people at church that we don't know. We can still spend 5 minutes after every church in being hospitable, in greeting one another, especially people that we don't know as well. So in closing, here's the question. Are we going to be birds of a feather and flock to those who are own? Are we going to be birds of a feather? And that's easy. That's our gravitational bent, flocking to people who are like us. Are we going to be birds of a feather? and flock to people of our own, or are we going to show love to strangers, which is harder and is more intentional? But to me, still the question is, well, which one of these two did Jesus practice? Which one of these two did Jesus do? And which one did he say to us, go out and do the same? God bless you as you live for him. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this topic of hospitality. Father, thank you for our lead pastor thinking of that and the importance of that and asking us to discuss and talk about it this morning. Lord, thank you the way, oh God, you are so hospitable to us when we didn't want to listen to you at all. Thank you for that hospitality. Help us, oh God, to go out and do the same. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, God, for the word of God. We are going to sing a song. It says, bind us together, Lord. You guys, I will try to teach you different languages. Let's start with Swahili. So I will teach you Swahili words. Same thing. It says...
Okay, I just forgot how to do that.
Utufunge pamoja, utufunge pamoja, kwa kamba ya kudumu, e Bwana. Utufunge pamoja, utufunge pamoja, kwa kamba ya upendo wako. Let's try one more time. Utufunge pamoja, utufunge pamoja, kwa kamba ya kudumu, e Bwana. Utufunge pamoja, utufunge pamoja, utufunge na upendo wako. One more time. Utufunge pamoja, utufunge pamoja, kwa kamba ya kudumu, e Bwana. Utufunge pamoja, utufunge pamoja, utufunge na upendo wako. In English, bind us together.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cord that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, Lord, bind us together with love.
Let's sing one more time.
Bind us together, Lord, bind us together with cords that cannot be broken. Bind us together, Lord, bind us together, bind us together with love.
I'm gonna try in my language and Kinyarwanda as well. It's the same thing. It goes like this.
Hallelujah.
Okay, let's go.
Duhambire tubumwe, duhambire tubumwe, nomukozi urukundo rwawe mana. Duhambire tubumwe, duhambire tubumwe, numukozi urukundo rwawe.
One more time.
Duhambire tubumwe, duhambire tubumwe, numukozi urukundo rwawe mana. Duhambire tubumwe, duhambire tubumwe, 너무 거지 우르쿠돌과 오이 Find us, find us together, Lord. Find us together with cause that cannot be broken. Find us together, Lord. Find us together. Find us together.
Thank you very much, Gord, for reminding us of very important truths. I don't know about you, but this morning I have been blessed myself. Just this new definition of hospitality. And that's an area that I'm asking God to help me grow in, you know. Not just to extend hospitality to those that I love, but to strangers. And my prayer is that God will give me strength. I'm also praying for you as well, that God will also help you in that area as well. So join me as we close. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Thank you very much for watching. God bless you. Amen.